baby.
Yeah, right. But no, you're absolutely right.
Here, this kind of feels maybe lazy a little bit.
Welcome to Set Cheddar Park. Movie screenings.
Why not, you know?
Yeah, at that point, why not?
It's got to be Saturday somewhere. It does sound familiar.
It's hilarious.
Hello!
I think we did like 5 shows on this movie.
My name is Tom Cone.
Oh, you bite your tongue if this does not hold up.
Cream corn tonight.
Cream corn tonight.
You are too kind.
Too honest.
That should be good corn time. It's a movie.
Happy Saturday, Robert.
Happy Saturday to you.
How are you, sir?
Not doing too bad. We just had our first frost last night, but I think it's 64 degrees now, so we're...
Oh.
An LA chill. Yeah. We were probably, it was about due. For, you know, it's mid-October-ish, so, you know, it's time.
I remember the first frost always being something special. You're kind of like, oh, it's chilly. And then after that, you're like, this sucks.
No, I'm excited for hoodie weather, you know?
Yeah.
It's time.
You got to love hoodie weather.
Yes.
It's been nice this week here in Los Angeles. Very, a few days it was high 80s, mostly low 80s, yeah. Late 70s, high 70s. So it's, you know.
Normalish.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody reels in LA after, no pun intended, after like July through September because it's always like 150 degrees every day. So when it's like freezing, or LA freezing in December, yeah. Where it's like 50 degrees, you're like, I still remember when it was 100 degrees for like 90 days. So I love every minute
of
this.
You're still good. Yeah. So yeah. I came during the, I had no 100 degree days. So I was thankful for that. So.
Oh, yeah. How was your trip out here?
It was good. It was kind of an extended weekend, and did a Universal Halloween Horror Nights a little bit earlier than usual, but so that was good. I think it was Ariana Grande was in front of me at one of the mazes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, I thought
was her ponytail swinging in your face?
It actually was. It was kind of all, it was glittered up, and she was kind of wearing a nice, you know, kind of outfit. Because I was like, is that her? You know, and then as soon as we got out of the maze, she was whisked off to a different exit. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, and apparently Mario Lopez was also at the, where we were eating at the VIP dinner thing.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
But AC Slater. Before,
so.
What was the when did it kick off, Hollywood Horror Nights?
Usually it's September-ish, early September, I think. So
yeah,
but I thought
you got there kind of early.
Yeah, it was better than last year, I thought. So the Halloween Horror Maze was fine. Oh, I'm sorry, Halloween Horror House. They're trying to not say maze anymore. They want to say houses.
They're not doing the maze.
Well, they're calling it houses, not mazes anymore.
Oh. Are they going to continue this? Do they continue it after Halloween, or does it end right on Halloween? Don't they do like a grace period?
November 1st, or it's either October 31st, November 1st, kind of however the weekend falls, but yeah.
Okay. What's the main, like, thing this year that they're having?
There was like 9 mazes, you know, so it was kind of... And here's the thing, they get pretty repetitive. The scariest maze was actually the first one, kind of the... I think it was the corn, crazy corn maze. I can't remember what it's called.
Corn.
Yeah. So
you wouldn't be scared of that.
I thought that was probably the best one. So that, like the movie, like Halloween and stuff like that. No, it's scary, but you're just kind of walking through it. I'm like, oh, that's, they did that. They replicated that. Nice. You know, this
yeah. You're like more observing and like commenting. Yeah. Than
but yeah. And then we had a pretty low key group, and it was nice to go through. They have the Nope. Jupiter's Hollow setup and stuff like that. And then for VIP, they have a little special thing. So, well, actually, so the Nope thing was kind of neat because you'd walk through and the things were going, and then all of a sudden, like, and all the lights would go down. You're like,
oh, really?
It's kind of like a movie. And then for the VIP, you get a little dual experience kind of backstage or whatever. But our group was so low key, like, we didn't even know what was going on, and people were running at us and whatever. And our tour guide was like,
then it was just the homeless people outside in the parking lot.
It was people like, people, they're like, usually tourists are screaming and whatever. And we're just like standing there, like, what is this?
What is this?
What are we, what's next? But
there's a few, obviously being LA, it's a mecca for Halloween. There's a few crazy things popping up. There's the Hollywood Horror Nights at Universal City, there's the Harvey Weinstein trial in Beverly Hills next week.
Exciting stuff.
Or I should say Los Angeles, but I have potentially have I'm being called for jury duty on Monday. Ooh. Don't ask me why that's open on Indigenous People's Day, racist LA government. But so I have off from work, but I might have to go to jury duty. So I'm wondering if I get picked for the Harvey Weinstein, if I could use that opportunity to make a deal.
I think
to get off, get him off, if I can get some scripts published.
I'm sure you could. He still has pull.
He does. But it is starting next week. And at this point, it's like, what's the point? I mean, I know you need closure for the victims, but he's already going to be in jail the rest of his life. Like, I guess you need to do it for justice and the technicality.
I guess.
Just let him rot, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of... One, it could be exciting. You get paid for that. All right, usually, those things really aren't exciting, even for the the good ones. But
the mighty have fallen, though. I mean, his big thing is his teeth are falling out, and the prison dentist is just pulling them, and he's like trying to get a private dentist for like. So he's like, "Here's no teeth." He's, it's like, oh,
well,
it's just how the mighty have fallen. Well deserved.
This is what happens. So
this is what you get.
And I had a good LA car chase while I was. I think my last morning.
You saw a police chase?
Yeah, I was gonna head out, and then I got caught up on the news, watching a police station, which is actually was just a super commercial for BMW. So it was like the whole chase was an hour and a half. About 45 minutes in, this car lost all the rubber on its front driver or passenger side wheel, and so it was just riding on the rim, you know, for a good 15 minutes, and then the rim came off and was going sideways. Just whatever. It went on for like another 40 minutes.
It's good German engineering right there.
I know. And they kept commenting like, this BMW is just taking it. And it was still getting around or whatever. And I was like, well, geez. But
see, that's what they should do. They should like do in-tie promotions. Like,
I know.
If you want a car that can outrun the police this long, go to Hamer BMW on Glendale Boulevard.
Yeah. All the reporters, they were pretty impressed. That
that is pretty impressive. I do know what chase you're talking about. I think that thing like crashed into a truck at the end.
Yeah, eventually crashed into a truck. But, you know, it not quite T-boned another car and just kind of pushed him out of the way and then kept going and going and going. And I was like,
There was a chase. There's obviously a million chases here, but there was a chase before the pandemic that I was sitting in traffic and it went past me. And I was kind of looking around like, oh, what are all these cops doing? And it was a slow chase. It was a Mercedes. Yeah. So I found the news clip and you can see the helicopter footage and you see me drinking coffee, like all tired because it was like a morning commute, like just turning my head, like the most like uninteresting man that day. Everyone's like watching and I'm like, I'm still waking up.
I'm
I don't want to be
trying
here.
To, I don't but know.
But they're exciting to watch because first of all, you're never going to get away. I mean, there's a freaking helicopter on you. So
never do. Even the news helicopter was actually running out of fuel at some point.
Oh, really? They have to like stop.
Yeah, and they're afraid to kind of. Then what? We would just go on with our day.
Right. And in other news, listeners, Robert rented a BMW and it lasted for 15 minutes without the tires. No, but that's fun that you watch that though. They are exciting. You always have to stop and watch them.
I think it's one of those only in LA because I think LA has such a. Unlike other cities, mass of freeways that really they can go on for days.
Yeah, you can just keep going on and off them forever.
Yeah.
And it's also very, there's so much traffic usually. So it's kind of like that can be a deterrent or an advantage.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, how are they going to get around this?
They always do.
Yeah.
But anyway, you're listening to the podcast, Set Jetter Saturdays. Check out Robert's website at setjetter.com. We're going to kick off today's show with. What you've been watching, I'll just start, Robert, because I'm excited to get into your Dahmer page. I rewatched The Birds, Alfred Hitchcock's classic. It's been a few years since I've seen it. Do you revisit that ever?
Not too often.
Tippi
Hedren was in town for a screening of several years ago, but the soundtrack was so bad. That we just like we didn't last long. I was like, oh, this is a little too screechy and stuff like that. So I don't think that has worn the test of time as well as other films have. I'll say that.
I couldn't agree with you more. You know, it's been a few years. I probably haven't seen The Birds in like 10 years. And I've always kind of heralded it as like this classic, you know, which is to a degree. But I feel like, yeah, the soundtrack, literally the sound itself is not great. And, you know, I do like the diner scene. That's probably the best. The old lady. That's like, birds have been since the troglodyte age. I'm like, how do you know all this, lady?
Thank God she was there. Yeah, what if you had somebody else that you're like, nobody knows what's a bird?
During the Austenitic period, 34 million. I'm like, you don't know this, lady. Come on. The scriptwriters just read this from a library book.
And she has a little, doesn't she even have a little cap on? And
yeah. She does. I didn't add to the list. The birds put me down a rabbit hole of old classics, and I rewatched The Wizard of Oz, which is always a great movie.
Well, that is nice. How does that hold up?
Holds up fantastically.
I did buy that on 4K, but I haven't popped it in yet. So
that would look spellbinding on 4K.
I would hope so.
So Birds, Wizard of Oz, and then I'm going to share here. I watched all but the last episode of Monster, the Jeffrey Dahmer story on Netflix. Which we have a treat, Robert. I'm going to share the screen. This is a page that Robert filmed, took pictures of on filming locations.
Just hot off the press. Just taken last weekend.
So you really just uploaded this like today?
Yeah. Well, it's probably like, well, it's fresh. I should get that out there. And for the most part, I found most of the locations before I went out. So.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to read the precursor to your page. Robert says, I was in senior year of college when the Dahmer story broke. The horror and intrigue of serial killers was at a peak coming off success of The Silence of the Lambs, so we were all transfixed by each new revelation. I was pretty skeptical going into the new miniseries, but was pleasantly surprised on how they treated the dark matter and focused on how the racism and homophobia allowed this to happen much longer than it ever should have gone on. Although it was supposed to mostly take place in Milwaukee, it is, of course, shot in Los Angeles, and I was able to visit several locations last weekend. Good call about the racism and homophobia, though. I didn't know that about the Dahmer story, but I did some research, and a lot of racism and homophobia.
I remember it was a thing at the time, I remember, but it was also, that was just our world back then, too, you know? So
yeah, unfortunately.
But I know some people were kind of worried that this would kind of not glorify Dahmer or not take his victims into account. But I think they did actually a pretty good job. So
I agree. Yeah, I think they did. This is his apartment.
Yes. So and actually, it's been interesting that they didn't really go for super authentic, like, let's make it look exactly like, you know, but this is kind of near downtown Los Angeles. So,
oh, yeah. Good job finding this one, too.
Yeah, that one I found as soon as they had like that 20-second teaser. Yeah. I was like, I need to find this and stuff like that. So, yeah. So, apartment. It doesn't look too much like it, but it works for the series. And
oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And then, obviously, they shot some scenes around that, you know, where one of the his potential last victim was running. The alley that he finds the police is actually behind the apartment complex. So, but then they did start to move in all sorts of different parts of LA. So, the grandma's house was the one that took me the longest to find. That house next door, I could see this house number, but I could not find it. And then you could see a church steeple in the background of one of the scenes. And I used that to try to find.
Good sleuthing.
But, down in Inglewood, which this does not look like.
No, typically. I would have thought Pasadena.
Yeah, I mean, it has a nice big boulevard, you know, in between the houses, and it's the house.
Yeah,
the house,
and there's like this house with the columns behind it.
Yeah, Inglewood.
Well, I never would have known.
And then
I didn't
when
think Inglewood was like that nice.
Yeah, and so when I was at the convention, I was talking to somebody. He says like, "Oh, I had a little bit part as you know, background extra, and the scene." At grandma's house, in case you haven't found that, I'm like, I did find it. He's down in Inglewood, and then he's like, the bus stop is right around the corner. I'm like, perfect, because I literally had not figured that out. So,
you put it together pretty good.
Yeah. So
the church is not in your photo. Is that just because of the angle?
Well, yeah. If you see the little steep, if you go down to the actual the screenshot the previous one. Okay. You can see a church steeple in the background.
Oh, got it. Got it.
That's okay. All I had.
That's really great to find that.
But
it's not unlike your Friday the 13th Part 3 where you found Vera's house.
Yeah, just a little
sliver.
Little clues are all I need. So, but yeah, the bus stop is right next to this church and school. So they were having a event, and so they were super nice. They let me go into the church and talk to them and take pictures. So.
Oh, sweet.
The bar is kind of just outside of downtown LA, where they shoot everything. You know, off of Mateo Street. So,
of course,
the Artist District, which now is like. It's impossible to find parking down there because everybody's brunching and which I'm like, well, I'm glad this is kind of getting upgraded, but I was like, I need to park right next to you. I was driving around for like 10 minutes trying to find a spot that wasn't a half mile away. So
I know my buddy Joe used to live down there, and it got to the point where I was like, why don't we just meet somewhere else? And he's like, well, I thought we were going to like write songs and stuff. I'm like, yeah, I don't, you know, it's tough. It's so hard to find parking.
Yeah.
Once I found it, I was like, can I just like spend the night and like keep this spot for like a day? Because it took me like an hour to find one.
You could sell it. So, but yeah, so the main bar that they always go to is just a kind of a filming warehouse. And then next street over is kind of another scene, Palmetto Street. And the Palmetto's used in everything. That's where the Starkman building is.
Yeah, we've talked about that.
Yeah. So everything is shot there. Hopefully they kind of maintain that. So the police department, I went all the way out to Pomona, California.
Nice.
To do the exterior for the police department. And then right next door, it was closed, so I couldn't get into City Hall, but that's where the divorce proceedings happened.
Where she stormed out.
Yes.
What a nut job.
I still prefer Anne Heche in that role.
But, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So
I thought Molly Ringwald did a great job as the stepmom.
Yeah, yeah. So I enjoyed seeing her. Antonio's Pizzeria was kind enough. They even let me back into the work area to take some shots so I could get.
Oh, that's so cool. So this is where you wanted to go to dinner that one night.
Yeah. So it was kind of in between us and Sherman Oaks. So,
well, oh, that's cool.
Wrapped in there again. So, and it's been used in other productions as well. So,
yeah.
But yeah.
Great job.
This childhood house was down in Pomona. The first liquor store that I went to in Altadena, you never know about liquor store, you know, like you're taking, you know, people are like,
yeah, they're hit or miss.
Yeah. This guy was super nice and he's like, he was so excited that I was there, documenting.
Oh, really? See, that's a win-win.
Yeah. And he's like, put it on our Instagram. And I said, well, and I said, this same liquor store was also used in Gacy. So I was doing a double, location. Oh.
Two birds with one stone.
So, but yeah, so that liquor store, and it's been used in other things. One of the Paranormal Activities I remember was shot out there. So,
oh, sweet.
And then yet another liquor store. This is Dahmer, after all.
Yes, he loved to drink.
The Pomona. Miami, of course, is Long Beach.
Of course.
And then the Long Beach is actually the beach they use as well. And then hopped over to San Pedro and did some locations over there. I think this was a Sunday. I think everything was closed up, so I couldn't really get any indoor shots. But
this is where he's looking for the job.
Yeah. So he goes to the record store first, and then he goes to the men's clothing store. So,
poor guy. That was the saddest story in the whole thing. He's deaf, and that happens. Like, come on.
So. Yep, and his house is actually—it's right, almost right across the street from the neighbor's house. But,
Wow, you did a very extensive job on this page.
Got almost everything that I.
You did a great job. Get,
but especially for my last minute, because I think it came out a week before I was leaving for LA, so I was rushing to try to.
Yeah, you didn't have much of a timeline to work with.
Trying to get all my shots. So, this was my Disney Dahmer trip.
What does that mean?
I was doing Dahmer locations and some Disney movies like The Computer Wore Tennis Shoes and Now You See Me, Now You Don't and stuff like that. So,
what is this church? I know it's on Magnolia Boulevard.
Yeah, so this was used in Stepfather 2 as well. So I went back out there. I had just been there in June. So I kind of went, I had to bug them. They weren't open at the time, so I had to bug them to let me in and get more shots. So, But yeah, I guess what do you I actually thought they did a good job for Dahmer.
I agree. They did they handled the victims respectfully, I thought. They made it very interesting to watch without, I don't think they crossed the line with glorifying him. They made him, I forget the actor's name, but he did a really good job of making him just weird enough.
Evan Peters.
Yeah. I thought he nailed it.
Yeah.
And he's perfect for those kind of roles, you know, with like American Horror Story and everything. He was like, I couldn't see anybody else doing that.
Yeah. Well,
we'll tell you.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, Jeremy Renner did a version a few years ago. And his was okay. And yeah. The kid that played him and my friend Dahmer actually did. They actually all do a good job, I think.
Right. I just read up on him a little bit, and the whole like his dad still loves him and tried to do his best. And I felt like they, I forget that actor's name that plays dad. He's a character actor. He does a great job of kind of playing the like, you know, is this my fault? It is my fault. I feel bad. I didn't see the red flags, without actually putting all the ownership on him.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what anybody would think. You'd be like, where did my kid go wrong? Killed Absolutely. 17 people. Like, I made him dissect animals. That's what every serial killer does. I mean, that's a red flag.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, all so, those things that he kept flashing back to that he's like.
Yeah. So it was wild. But
I do recommend it. And it just seemed very. You never know what you're getting with a Ryan Murphy production. But well, actually, you usually do know. But this
right.
is actually.
Right. It was no American Crime Story, the Monica Lewinsky series, but it's up
Rotate.
There. Rotate. I'm smoking 100 cigarettes at my Christmas party. But anyway, yeah. So what have you been watching, sir?
Did we talk about the Munsters last time? I can't remember.
No, you hinted. But we never really discussed. How is it?
Not good.
Bad.
I know, and I see people are going on both sides. So like, it's not supposed to be. It's supposed to be this or whatever. I mean, it literally. I can't imagine that the aesthetic he was going is to look like 1986 video. You know.
Oh no.
Between the actual lighting and the actual. It doesn't look like a film either. You know what I mean? It's just like.
Yeah.
I don't know what Sherry Moon is doing. She seems to be. She's kind of like in an SNL skit, you know.
It's just funny. I didn't know it was supposed to be like 1986 video.
Well, that's why I'm like, is that?
What are they doing?
It could be. You never know. But the thing is, like, when I look back at, like, I'm not obviously not a big fan of his Halloween films, but they had good cinematography, and I thought, they did a good job. But so ignoring Sherry, Jeff Daniel Phillips, I actually kind of liked him as Herman Munster. So I thought he did a good job. And then I know Daniel Roebuck is usually called out for, I think he's called the Count in this one and stuff like that. So they both do, I think, kind of a decent job. But I don't know what Sherry was doing. But
right. You would think just based on history, aesthetically speaking, it would be in good hands as far as how it looks. But.
So I got through it though. So
I'm glad that you got through it. How long is it?
It's probably 90 minutes, but I could be, I don't know, but it took a few sittings still.
You had to keep jump starting it.
Well, yeah, where's this going, you know? And but I also encourage people to watch it because.
Just if you had to, they should have to.
Exactly. Everybody needs to watch what I watch.
Where is it streaming on?
It's a Netflix. I think Netflix got it.
Netflix.
So, yeah.
But. Yeah. Was the timing bad, you think, with this? With, like, Dahmer and everything? That people just don't care?
I don't think they knew what to do with it, you know, because family's probably just like, I'm not going to show my Rob Zombies the money. You know, like, it is a family fair.
Yeah.
Thing and stuff like that, and then I know I see Facebook friends, horror friends saying it's my sense of humor. I'm like,
it's my sense of humor.
It is okay. But
you plugged through and gave it a shot, though.
I did. Yeah. I it's October, you know.
Yeah. So. Right. We gotta get in the mood.
Similarly, I plugged through Hellraiser.
Oh, yeah. How was that? I'm curious about that.
It just seemed like a COVID movie or like a cast of five.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, and I
know what you're talking about. COVID movie, cast of five.
Yeah.
One, 10 two people.
Two locations, crew. You know.
Right. Yeah.
Everybody's still standing 6 feet apart from each other. Right. Yeah, it was not doing anything for me. My friend told me, he said that he thought it was not that bad, which is usually code for it's not that good either.
Right. Yeah, it's not that bad.
No. But part is like, this is, kind of takes place in the same universe, I think. But then as a mind, I'm like, I don't care. And it keeps going on and on and on. And I think they just don't have any likable characters. I think that's part of it.
Let me ask you this. This is my litmus test. Is it better or worse than The Happening with Mark Wahlberg? Because The Happening wasn't that
I would watch
bad.
The Happening again.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah. And actually, okay. I should see what I texted my friend because I can't remember. Because my kind of one sentence review that I gave that. But
you would never watch this movie again, I'm taking it.
No, I said I've already opted to have another colonoscopy before I watch that again.
Oh no! So
that's my review.
It looks like Hellraiser sucks, ladies and gentlemen.
Enjoy it, but please watch it.
Please. I think there should be a new subcategory of films though called COVID movies.
Yeah.
Where just what you said, you can tell they were made during COVID. It's cheap, and it's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, and they were trying. I had not rewatched Welcome to the Dollhouse in a long time. I knew I was going to meet Heather Matarazzo, and so I really enjoyed it. I forgot how much I enjoyed that movie.
This is we've talked about this on when we did the '90s movies before. I think this was a Can't Look Away or something like that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Yeah, it's there, and it took me so long since it's been so long since I watched it. I forgot a lot of some plot points and stuff that just made me laugh out loud. So,
welcome to the Dollhouse. It's Robert's favorite film. Heather Matarazzo.
Yeah, and I don't
see you looking these days.
She looks really good. No, she was actually one of my favorite people to meet at HorrorCon. So HorrorCon was their first try at HorrorCon LA. I don't know if they'll repeat it because they did not have too many attendees.
Really?
No.
What was the reason, you think?
I don't think it was well publicized. A lot of people didn't know about it, and but it should make sense if people come into LA anyway for Halloween Horror Nights. This should just kind of be a thing. So, they didn't have one big star. And so that might have been like the only time I saw line was for Catherine Hicks.
Oh,
yeah.
So the star drawing power was not.
No, it was for me because Slumber Party Massacre cast was there.
But you're saying there wasn't a lot of people there?
Yeah, no, attendees. Like literally, it just was like a ghost town.
Oh no.
Yeah. So and some people like, I mean, I got everything I needed and like. Less than 3 hours, and then I started leaving. I'm like, oh, I felt like late. I think it was like 5:30. I was leaving, and they were supposed to go to 9, and then I think some celebrities weren't going to even come back the next day because it was just like, I'm just sitting here. So,
how long would you stay at an event like that?
It kind of this one had no panels or anything like that. So usually that kind of elongates it. But if you're just going through celebrity, but there was literally nobody had a line. So it was nice for me. You could just go.
Yeah, you can whiz in and out.
Booth, and otherwise, I just kept roaming around. And but yeah, so I really enjoyed meeting like Heather Matarazzo, Tracy Savage. I had not met Debbie from Friday 13th Part 3.
Yes.
And so
oh my God.
I was like,
casserole
so
film.
Yeah, if Chili was there, then it would be really exciting. She was one of the first tables, and she goes, well, I have a script and I have call sheets and whatever. And I was like,
whoa,
I want them all.
Whoa. Which,
yeah,
that's what you texted me.
Yeah, so amazing. Yeah, she has her Crystal Japan script, and it's funny because in the back that she has, she wrote down every appointment she had, every, you know, how many, each time she went through a casting call and interviews and agent setups and stuff like that. So I really enjoyed talking
with
her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course.
Classic. And she's still she after that movie, she kind of went into journalism. So she's probably best known that she was a journalist during the O.J. Simpson trial, that she was actually put on the stand.
Oh, really?
And then, yeah, I think the judge was trying to force her to give up some name or whatever, and she just protected her journalistic integrity.
She was on the stand as a witness?
And declined, yeah. And I can't remember what it was that he was trying to force her to say something. But anyway.
That's incredible. Yeah.
So Tracy Savage, super excited to meet her. And I got all sorts of goodies from her. Slumber Party Massacre cast. This is the 40th anniversary, so I was excited. A lot of them have not done a convention before. A lot of Friday the 13th.
They broke their cherry.
Yeah, a lot of Friday the 13th actors. Some actors that I will never want to see again. We can talk offline. There's a few that I've just never.
Eddie Deason.
Yeah, it was verging on Eddie Deason kind of territory. Yep. So.
Oh.
Witt. Good. I can't remember. The kid, he was in Jurassic Park, the one with at the beginning.
Looks like a giant turkey.
Exactly. So I had he signed that for my sister and stuff like that.
Oh, nice.
He played Jacob in Nightmare on Elm Street 5: The Dream Child. So he was there. So.
Didn't he have a cameo in Dominion as well?
No, he was supposed to. Well, he wasn't supposed to. He wanted to. It would have made sense that he should have in that scene, but we talked a bit about that. So,
yeah. But that was his only appearance in the franchise. Was
I think so? Part. Yeah. So, but yeah, in Dominion, there would have been. There's that perfect scene for him to be there. Yeah. So, but yeah,
it would
be
funny if he wore the same clothes and was like, "It looks like a big turkey."
Exactly.
Saying the same line.
They should have, I don't know, it would help. It would have given Dominion at least another quarter star.
Yeah, it would have. It actually at would.
Least, at least. But, two of the Aliens guys were there.
Oh, yeah, Drake and
I can't remember their
Frost, name. Right?
Yeah, so, yep, so I had them sign my Aliens magazine as well.
Oh, cool.
So,
yeah. A
couple Sleepaway Camp people. So, yeah, so I actually kind of, I liked the lineup and was at the LA Convention Center, so which I had not parked at the LA Convention Center. That was nice.
It was easy to park there?
Yes, nice indoor parking.
Oh yeah.
And it was you literally walked, it looked like you were parking inside of a mall, and then you just literally walked right up to your thing. You know, it wasn't one of those grimy garages and stuff like that. So I was like, I want to park here every time.
Yeah, that's what you want to do. You need that indoor parking to solidify.
So also, and plus, because it was right there, you could, if you wanted to take stuff back and forth to your car, it was really easy.
When you saw Drake, did he smack you in the face and go, "You just too bad"?
He didn't. I guess I could have asked for that. So, but
oh no.
But yeah, so it was. I had a good time. So
it's a great time.
Yeah.
I'm glad you went.
Yes.
All right, so we're going to get into, these are some Halloween picks that Robert and I, this is no particular order of greatness or preference, just some movies we recommend the listeners go out and check out this 2022 Halloween season. And they're all Children of the Corn, which is strange. Children of the Corn 1 through 10. So
they just harvested our corn around our neighborhood. So.
Oh, beautiful.
No more corn stalks.
So it's cornless until next year.
It's done. Yeah, what did the children do during the winter?
That's what I want to know. Yeah, sure. It's all fun and games in August. But
yeah.
What happens in October?
You can just see He Who Walks Behind the Rose right there. There's nothing to hide behind.
And how would that work if the children aren't harvesting the corn each year?
I don't know.
I think we need to get
a
farmer.
Huge
on the show.
Plot hole.
Oof. Massive.
But so you're number one.
What's that?
So your number one is Children of the Corn.
Yeah, Children of the Corn. I kick the first one, the original, of course. Not a great movie, but it always holds a special place in my heart. I always watch it as the first movie. And the original source material is great. The novella that Stephen King did. And I always like Children of the Corn.
Nice.
And you don't visit that too often, do you?
No, I feel like I've seen it enough. Yeah.
But you like the movie overall.
It is fine.
It's fine. It's fine. That's what Children of the Corn is. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. So
yeah,
that abrupt ending.
Yeah, they ran out of money and that's it. End credits.
Roll the credits. So, which reminded me a little bit of the Munsters ending.
Oh, really?
The credits was like, I was like, oh, that's how it ends. But
worst. When that happens too, and it creeps up on you, it's a sign of kind of a weak movie. When you're like, really? There should be like a feeling of closure.
Correct. Yeah. And I do. It's not on my list, but I think of like Halloween H2O, also had an abrupt ending. But it was just enough, you know, like,
yeah,
whatever. In the Halloween theme, she's breathing and like, boom, and you just end on that good note and it's done.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
82 minutes. You're out.
One and done. Out the door. Yeah. So, I picked Children of the Corn. What did you recommend for your first one, Seth?
So, I actually put Halloween 2018 because I was trying to think. I don't know. I can't remember the smells, whatever, of, you know, like, you know, these first time movie. And I, for some reason, it's always Halloween movie. I think about Halloween 6 and I think about H2O and I think about Halloween 2018, just kind of that time of year. And so if it kind of still puts me in the Halloween mood, ignoring that Halloween Kills happens. But, you know,
when we still
thought we had a chance.
Right. We still.
Yeah.
It has a feeling of nostalgia underlying it.
Yeah. So, yeah. And we're a week away from Halloween ends. So we will see.
Right. It ends. Is it going to end? Is this going to be the last Halloween movie?
It will not be the last Halloween movie.
What are they going to do after this, you think?
I'll probably have to see the movie, but I'm sure there'll be something. It'll be the last Jamie Lee Curtis Halloween movie for now.
This one coming out.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. It'll be her last one for sure. She wouldn't do any more after this, I don't think.
Yeah, I wouldn't think
she's gonna be like 80. What else can she do?
Well, great grandma.
Meemaw.
Great grandmother.
It's great grand, but yeah. But yeah, Halloween's a great choice. That's a fun.
So, anyway, that's the first time. So, what do you got next?
I have your favorite Friday the 13th movie, I think, part 4, the final chapter.
Yes, yes.
You know, I don't really recommend Friday the 13th movies during Halloween, even though they're horror movies, because I kind of watch them around the year. I don't associate them with Halloween. I know that's weird. But I always like to throw in one or two, pepper them in throughout the month in my usual rotation. And I think I recommend Friday the 13th part 4. If you haven't seen any Friday the 13th, anybody listening, I would just go with 4 if you have to watch one.
I thought you were going to say, I would go for Jason Takes Manhattan, which I did meet B.C. Dupree.
Yeah, the guy that was punched, got his head punched off.
So, speaking of, so, well, the final chapter was shot at Halloween, so that's probably why.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
you kind of. That makes sense.
Getting that vibe and stuff like that, because I think, I know Kimberly Beck and Rob, I can't remember his name, Eric Anderson, I think, took Corey Feldman trick or treating or something like that.
Oh, cool. Oh, that's cool. That's a cool little piece of trivia. How was VC Dupree? Was he a nice guy?
He was. So, yeah.
Yeah.
There was 95% of them were super nice, and then the other 5% we'll talk about.
No. I don't like to hear that. I mean, I love to hear the stories.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, what? Anyway, but it was all good. So, next on my list is Poltergeist, the original, of course. So I have my 4K sitting out to watch at the appropriate time.
All right.
Yeah.
You haven't watched 4K Poltergeist yet?
Not yet. So that's why it's sitting out, ready to go. And
it's a treat.
It has little warnings on it because of the strobe effects.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Must be more intense in 4K. So
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah. So if you don't hear from me,
the warning effects are hilarious. Somehow,
yeah.
When they're like I've been watching a lot of Disney Plus lately, and they're like, there were appropriations of cultures that were wrong then and wrong now. Let's start a conversation about it. And I'm just like, I get it. You're not going to get sued.
Yeah.
But we're not. I'm not talking about this, Disney.
Yeah. We've moved on.
It's too much.
Yeah.
That's a good choice, Poltergeist.
Yep.
And next on the list is The Fog, 1980, the original. not the bastardization of a remake of.
The remake just came up in some YouTube video the other day, and I was like, one, I forget about they even remade it. And right. Two is like, oh, just even seeing like a 5-second clip of it, you're like, oof.
Right. Yeah, I know. It's rough. The original Fog, I like. I was talking to my buddy Vince about that. He's a big horror movie guy. You guys would actually like each other a lot. And he said it's like a perfect Friday night during Halloween movie. It has to be on a Friday night. It has like all those feels. And yeah, I just think it's an underrated movie. The music's great. And it has just the opening sequence of like the town and the shops. It has a feeling of isolation. And you just feel like an outsider in the movie. Like it makes you uncomfortable. Antonio Bay. What is that?
Antonio Bay.
Yeah, like the pirate backstory. Like it's just, I don't know. It's a cool movie. I feel like it's an underrated movie.
And it's one of the, I think, not the soundtrack saves it, but the soundtrack's elevates
it. Helps.
It. Yeah.
And that church, I mean, you've covered The Fog too on your site, the church sequence and the settings there. Like it's just, I don't know. It's creepy. I'll watch it every year for around Halloween.
It's a good one. It's a good one.
It's a classic. What was yours, sir?
Silence of the Lambs.
No, he covets.
Perhaps you'd care to lend us your views on this Halloween list.
Was Robert a great big movie person? Yes, he does set chatting. I think I have his card.
I put on my list. Probably same thing. It's a fall movie, you know?
Yeah.
You know, Clary's in her little petticoat, you know, running
fucking
around.
Fucking you.
But yeah, so that's my kind of, you know, and it's one of those I just get caught up in every time. And
yeah, I'm due to watch that too. It's streaming somewhere, and I'm always like, I gotta like fire it up. It might be Tubi.
We haven't mentioned Tubi at all.
We haven't. So Tubi's so good. Tubi and The Stand. Do you watch Silence of the Lambs? Do you respect it where you don't watch it every year? Or like, what do you?
Oh, not that often.
Not that often. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think. Yeah, I think I have a 4K of it that I haven't watched yet, but yeah, it's on my to-do list.
Whenever you come to town and you do, not that you ever do tours, but I feel like because you know the layout of the land, you should say to other set jetters, this can be quite the fun town if you have the right guide.
I think that I should put that on my card.
Silence of the Lambs. I have Army of Darkness. I don't think you like this movie very much.
I do not.
Nobody likes this movie.
I don't get it.
Nobody likes it. I think I might have to reevaluate my priorities. My wife won't watch it. She's like, it's the dumbest movie ever. And I'll tell you what, the only reason I like Army of Darkness are the one-liners in it. The story's weird. There are some very cheesy scenes where Bruce Campbell is like talking in high-pitched voices and fighting with himself. Like those are unwatchable. But there's just some of these like great one-liners where the skeletons are attacking the castle and the guys, and you know, they keep getting creamed and the head skeleton's like, oh, like he's watching a football game. And it's just, it's like intentionally bad, but just the cheesiness one-liners, it does it for me every time.
Well, you'll love the monsters.
Hail to the king, baby. All right.
It does have Bruce, so, but
nobody likes this movie. I really don't know why I like it so much. I met one other person that says like it's great. That was it. And he's the guy that introduced me to it.
Oh, so well there you go. I'm sure there's a legion of fans that
I don't know.
That's their favorite one. I don't know them, but
it's pretty bad.
Yeah. what did I have? Oh, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the 78 version.
Matthew.
What is that?
What's the noise you made?
Brooke Adams.
Invasion of the Body Snatchers. I mean, the dog, the head, the hybrid dog human face. Creepiest thing ever, right? It
freaked me out. Yeah, it's like looking. I remember that because I think I saw it first as a child on TV, you know, the CBS Sunday night movie or whatever, and they really didn't cut out too much, you know, because I remember that was just horrifying. But
horrifying.
It's like, how is this supposed to, the Body Snatchers movies are usually pretty good. What was the last one? Invasion with the Nicole Kidman was one was not, but
no,
but yeah. So this one, that's still a favorite of mine that I kind of like.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with you on the, it's not the series, but the franchise, I guess you could say. I like the original from the 50s, and I like the one from 94, the Body Snatchers one.
Oh, yes. Meg Tilly.
Meg, what did she say? Go to bed.
Get in bed.
Get in bed.
I said get in bed.
Get in bed. And Forrest Whitaker was in there.
Yes.
He says, you can take my life, but you'll never take my soul.
And Billy Worth, one of the Lost Boys.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's a good movie, though.
I still have it on Laserdisc. I'll tell you that.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Yeah, I'm a fan. But yeah, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the 78 ones, I think it's a classic. It's a great movie.
What do you have next?
House on Haunted Hill, the original one from 1959 with Vincent Price.
Nice.
It's a good classic. Not the one with Chris Kattan, where they got a license to use Marilyn Manson's music. And that was half the budget.
Yes. And that house is Terry's, what's his name? Terry's house.
Terry Silva.
Terry Silver's house from Karate Kid Part 3.
Yeah, right. Exactly. little piece of history there.
Oh, my God. All I think about is him coming out to choose the cars. Like, they brought four different cars. Like, who does that? That's not realistic.
No. That's all I can think of is he has all the... And they're always being, like, waxed. You know? It's like in the movie Blow. They always... Whenever they show, like, George Jung's, like, when he's in, like, his mansion... They're always like waxing the cars outside. Like, they're constantly being buffered.
Well, I've not watched House on Haunted Hill in a while, so I'll have to kind of keep a lookout for that.
Yeah, yeah. I always like to go to that one. And your next one is the classic Halloween movie.
Besides Carrie, 1976.
Oh, so good.
I can't get enough. I'm trying to figure out if I should triple dip. They're going to release a 4K version of Carrie.
Ooh.
And I was just like, is my Blu-ray good enough? I don't know. But
would you get a movie, a Blu-ray, or a 4K just to have it for your collection? Or do you actually like get them for practicality?
A little bit of both. Like Poltergeist. Well, I don't think Poltergeist has had a proper Blu-ray, if I remember right. Or it was kind of a bare bones. But
okay.
There's a couple, but so like that, and then like I'm thinking the Lost Boys. I'm like, do I need the 4K?
Yeah, how that's often the question.
It's a big question that I have to deal with.
Do right,
I spend $22? I just like I don't know, you know, and that's half a Diet Coke at Universal Studios, but half a Diet Coke. Oh, we'll see. But like how often am I going to pull out the 4K and just like, hey everybody, let's watch Carrie.
Right, right. Yeah. But Carrie's such a great choice.
Yes.
I have Halloween 2, 1981, which I already watched this week or last week. So, I always go to Halloween 2. It's my favorite in the franchise. It's the first one I ever saw as a kid. I don't know why I was watching this as a kid, but I saw it probably 11 years old, 12 years old. And
you were younger than when I first saw it, so.
Oh, okay. I watched it with my parents, and I remember the scene when they show Michael Myers right, you know, outside of the hospital with the car, and I was just like, who is that? My mom's like, that's the freak, Matthew, Michael Myers, and I was like, oh, this is so cool, and you know, like, I watched Halloween, the original, after I saw this, and I loved that, and I still do, that they take place right after the events of this first film,
yes,
and they didn't do the typical sequel kind of thing. And I was like, oh, this is so cool. They filmed this like years later, but it looks like, you know, it was that night. So.
Does it?
It does. It does it now. Not as a mold.
New hair. And
yeah. No, the wrinkles. Donald Pleasance. But like, I just think it's cool. The whole thing takes place in a hospital and it's supposed to be a place of getting well and safety. And it's like, it turns into like this nightmare. So it's just a cool movie for me.
Now, that scene you were referring to, that was the first scene I saw because on... Siskel and Ebert, you know, I think I was watching, they were reviewing, and that this clip they showed was Jamie Lee running across the parking lot and let me in or whatever. And I just remember I was terrified.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I could sleep for a week just from that.
Oh, no. Yeah, that is a scary scene, especially as a kid.
yeah, it's like, oh, it was too much for me. So,
oh yeah.
Now you're bringing about some feelings. I'm not quite sure how I'm still processing. So,
oh no.
So when I was in LA, actually I did a drive by of the Doyle house from Halloween and the front door was open and I took a picture. I actually didn't even get out of my car and I did see a truck pulling up and for some reason I thought, oh, they're getting new furniture. Didn't think anything of it. And then a couple of days later, I got back to my hotel room and I'm thinking, oh, I checked off almost all my locations, which rarely happens. Everything went pretty smooth. And yeah. I got a text from a friend that's saying he got into the Doyle house.
He got into it?
Yes. Whoa. And got to take pictures. And he got to go into the closet and lay down and take pictures where Jamie Lee was fighting Michael. No, as far as I know, no fan has been up into that location. And so he literally, they sold the house, they had an estate sale. He got at the right time. The real estate agent said they were going to close in 5 minutes. You have 5 minutes to take pictures. And that was that's probably the one and only time. So I can't even tell you the envy that I have.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, you even mentioned that before, like an early shows that no one's ever been able to go in there. It's like the holy grail of like filming locations.
Yes.
Are your friends' pictures on? Are they posted somewhere?
I've only seen one picture posted so far, so I'll try to find it that he's had before. And I'm just kind of almost afraid to look, but But it's just like, and then I was like, oh, I'm so jealous of you. I'm like, one, I'm kind of glad that somebody that we know, kind of got in, and then two, I hate you.
Two, you mean nothing to me now.
Exactly.
So, you're dead to me.
I will.
Do you feel? You said like you're glad it's someone we know. Does that give you some consolation that it's kind of like a professional that can do it and not just like some dumb kid that's like I got in.
Yeah, there'd be worse people that if they got in, I'd be like, you out of everybody. But I'm like, they're horror fans, so. I just sent you a picture on Facebook so you can take a quick look if you want. But of him in the closet. That's the only picture he's posted so far. But
I just want to know why nobody's filming getting pictures of Franny Goldsmith's house in the stand. Okay. Oh wow. That's so cool.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah. So the thing that killed me.
Oh, the Eagle shirt. Good for him.
So the thing that killed me was he says it looks like it had not been touched since the 70s. I'm like, it's not even like, well, it doesn't even look the same. Apparently everything.
I'm more impressed that your friend has a Philadelphia Eagles shirt on. Good for him.
Yeah, good.
So, does he live in Philly?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay.
I have no idea
where he. All right. Well, that's a great shot, and
so
it should have been you, Robert.
Good for him. Good for him.
But it's good that somebody at least got through the door.
We got some pictures. That was probably our one of. Because I looked, I'm like, oh, it's for sale. Sometimes they put the realtor pictures, but it was probably a private sale and.
Yeah,
that's that. Happy. For
what
them.
Was the truck that came that was removing things?
It probably was. Now that I think about it, they were probably removing furniture and they were moving. And I probably could have used that time to say, hey, can I come in? And
or put on a mover uniform and be like,
yeah,
hey, Larry, I'm going to go get the stuff out of the basement. Yeah. They'll be like, there is no basement. And you'd be like, what's that?
I don't know. Maybe these people will be Airbnbers, and
you never know.
We'll take over. But yeah, they're like, our house is doing really well.
Our house is really killing it. They had no idea.
Anyway, that was
that's really cool.
So
yeah, great.
My next one was Witches of Eastwick, and I put it on here because it's less of a Halloween, but it's a fall movie. I think the leaves and everything, and so that's why I included Witches of Eastwick. We've talked about that many times before.
It does feel like a fall movie, and even some of the shots with when they're playing tennis and stuff, still really cool.
I do love the tennis scenes, and the three women and Jack. I see what you have next on yours.
Oh yeah, Signs. There's nothing I can add to Signs because we've talked about it ad nauseum, but it's to me it's the quintessential outside of Halloween. Like a fall feeling movie,
Yeah.
It's a September movie. So always go to that.
I'll just watch the Cherry Jones scene. That's it.
That's all you got to do.
Just give me the 5 minute Cherry Jones version.
Old Mrs. Carmichael was spitting and she must have had a cold. I won't eat for a week. So what happened to your crops, Graham? I'm pretty tall, and I'm pretty fast, and I don't know any women that could run that fast. I'll kick your ass. So, yes.
People just use that for their auditions. Like, I'm going to be just Cherry Jones from Signs for my audition today.
And, you know, a lot of people don't know this movie. A lot of people ask, like, where are you from originally? And I'll say Doylestown, PA. And nobody knows who that is. I said, have you ever seen the movie Signs? 9 times out of 10, it's no. And I'm like, I feel like it was a bigger movie than that. Like, I don't know anyone that's really remembers this movie.
Well, it's the M. Night syndrome. You know, people are like, what?
What?
And I did see the trailer for his new one. I'm not quite sure what to think. The Knock at the Door or something like that, I think it's called. But
oh, there's a trailer for that out?
There is a trailer for that out. And then apparently he just got greenlit for a 2024 release film as well. So
he's on fire.
He's doing something. The Munsters 2.
What's that?
The Munsters 2 by M. Night
Shyamalan. Oh, no. You know, when they filmed Signs in my hometown, the newspaper or nobody cared that M. Night Shyamalan or Joaquin Phoenix was there. It was all Mel Gibson's in town. That's all anybody cared about. It's like Joaquin Phoenix wasn't Gladiator, people. Like he's a famous guy.
He was fresh off that, you know?
Right, right. Like but. It was anyway. But yeah, Signs, I always recommend Signs. It's fun.
I put The Exorcist 2, The Heretic.
Ooh, a young Jeffrey Dahmer.
Once, because I did do, that was my movie I rewatched because of Louise Fletcher's death.
Godspeed.
There's something just really strange as this total studio built movie.
What is it?
Wrong. You know, it's like one of those, like, they couldn't get permission to go back to the original Exorcist house, so they built it all on a Warner Brothers set, and they built the stairs on the set and stuff like that. So they spent all this money, and it's just not, it didn't look remotely realistic. And
I don't think I've ever seen it. Maybe once.
You should.
It's scary.
It's a movie.
So you like the third one a lot better then.
I do. Yeah, the third one is an actual authentic good scary movie.
Okay, because you've praised the third Exorcist in the past.
Exorcist 2 is just a kind of a fever dream, how did this get made type.
Are the priests in it again?
No. I was trying to think. Linda Blair from the original, Kitty Wynn from the original. I'm trying to think of anybody else. But otherwise
I may have seen it, yeah. It's a movie.
It's a movie that
that's not good.
That I own on Blu-ray.
So. Okay, all right. Well, so
there you go. Yeah,
there's a silver lining if you own it. I have Misery for my next one, which is kind of a weird choice. It's more of a depressing January wintry movie, but Misery is a great film, and I think it's just Kathy Bates nails it, and it's just I respect the movie where I don't watch it every year. It's like maybe once every 2-3 years. So I don't know. What do you think? Do you visit Misery a lot?
Not too often. I remember seeing it in the theater, and I remember getting.
Oh, no way.
I remember the tenseness in the opening scenes when he's driving in the snow, because I hate driving on ice. And I remember even though I'd read the book and stuff, so I know what's going to be happening. But I just remember I don't even like to watch.
No way.
Watch that. Yeah. But and then Kathy Bates, I remember she had done a couple things beforehand, but she wasn't Kathy Bates yet. So this was obviously her big breakout role. And I saw her in like Men Don't Leave and some other movies before that. But anyway, she just obviously knocked it out of the park, and it was a good
nailed it
movie.
Isn't she? She won the Oscar for that, I think.
I think so. I know she was nominated, at least. I think she did win. So
is that still the only Oscar win for a horror movie for actress?
As a win?
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, it depends if you talk about Silence of the Lambs as horror or not.
Right. That's the age-old question.
Usually then they're called thriller.
Right. Once the Oscars come in, it's a thriller.
It's a thriller movie. So, which I noticed my screen poster, it's not a, they call it the newly acclaimed thriller from Wes Craven. It's not a horror movie.
Oh, is that what they're doing?
Yeah. I saw them on my 96 in my screen poster. They weren't even calling it a horror movie.
Oh, yeah.
But But yeah, so there's been, yeah. So anyway, yeah, I agree. Misery is good.
Yeah, and yeah, Academy Award for Best Actress in Leading Role. She did win in 91, so gotcha. Pretty cool. Even though, if you remember the poster for Misery, it's just so daunting. It's like the house with the one light on, and it's just, yeah. It's creepy. So I have Misery, and you put...
I put A Quiet Place.
Good call.
You know, I think that post-pandemic Quiet Place 2, I thought it was kind of a decent follow-up as well. But I thought it worked. It only works in a quiet movie theater. And a quiet, yeah, it does not work when at home as much as it should.
No, it doesn't work. A Quiet Place 2 doesn't really work as a simile into real life. If you're sitting where I am, where a dog's been barking for 48 hours straight, I'm going to call the pound. It's but that's a great choice, though. Quiet Place, such a cool concept.
Oh, and
I love the scene where they're dancing, and it's like the Pam and Jim kind of, they crowbar that in. It's supposed to be like the office scene where they're dancing. They're like in the same thing.
Speaking of, I did go to their wedding chapel.
Oh, you did? Oh, yeah, for
it was right next door to the Stepfather 2 church. So,
oh, in Sherman Oaks.
Yep, they let me take. Some cool. In there, so yep.
Oh, nice.
Niagara Falls.
Yeah, right. Niagara Falls. That's cool. Okay, so you had A Quiet Place. We both put The Fly.
The 86 one. Version, I assume, of for course. You as well. So.
Of course. For 86, I'm surprised. I'm not surprised. I'm sure they had to cut stuff out to get an R rating because it was pretty intense for the time.
I don't think they did.
No.
I don't know. Well, I think because it was more sci-fi-ish and stuff like that. And they did kind of build up to that. There's just pieces along kind of along the way. You know, it's kind of, you know, body horror. You know, stuff is falling out. So I think anything they cut might have been they cut themselves.
They did, yeah.
Went in there. So, and speaking of, that is one of the movies that ends. There is no coda, you know.
No.
It ends the way it's supposed to. So, also go back, the soundtrack I love.
Yeah, that is a great score. Yeah. It really is.
I remember being very intrigued because Charles Edward Pogue wrote the script for The Fly, and he also wrote the script for Psycho 3. And so I thought I don't think he really wrote too much since or something like that. But
really,
I think it ended up more of his kind of story ideas. I think both directors kind of took it kind of somewhere else. But both in 86. So it's kind of my favorite. But yeah, I remember seeing The Fly opening night.
That is so cool.
Summer of 86.
How old were you when you saw that?
16. I was probably sneaking in the movie theater. Yeah.
Were you like blown away with the effects and stuff?
No, I don't remember being blown away. I just remember it starts off with that booming soundtrack and you're just kind of like, and it's when I talk about, you know, I was the summer of aliens and everything else. You had no preconception of really what you were in for besides the 30-second trailer that you saw, you know?
Yeah. And yeah. You so, don't know.
I remember the audience groaning, you know, it'd be like, you know, the disgust, you know,
the maggot scene
and stuff like that, that all the stuff was happening. I remember, because you don't, you know, the baboons, you know, but you're like, everything still was like worst. Tense and stuff like that. Yeah. Oh,
can't watch it.
But yeah, but then I go back, it also works because you got great actors and a good director and everything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, it's a true horror classic, sci-fi classic. It's great. Even the artwork for it with like the one leg sticking out. It's so, you know, it's just, it gets you.
Still good.
So The Fly is great. I picked... Hell original. I picked The Shining next. I've never had that in any horror movie list. It's like, tell it's me, you like the Yankees.
I'm sorry. Which version?
The one with Ryan Reynolds.
Okay.
Whoever. The original, of course. You know what the Shining has become for me, though? Honestly? I'm looking at all the hidden things now when I watch it. I'm trying to find all the hidden stuff that I didn't like realize before. Yes. I can't really watch it anymore and just watch it. I'm always like... Oh, this is that, because I've watched too many of these fan theory videos on The Shining. So now I'm just like dissecting it like a class. It's like exhausting.
But I it is.
It's great.
Yeah, I know what we talked about. So I've been fortunate to see it a couple of times on the big screen. And it's different because then you just, you have to, you're just in the movie and so forth. And
right. You can't look at your phone and like Google something.
Is kind
absolute.
Of, it's just much different. So, but yeah, so I always enjoy a Shining.
Oh yeah. And you shine yourself in real life. Don't you have the, that
do.
Kind of cosmic.
If you didn't know about, that, Matthew.
Robert, are you going to Omaha?
Don't go.
If you spell Tezjess backwards, spell Set Jetter in the mirror. What?
Well, obviously, I have Red Rum written on my closet door. So
yeah. Oh, so then, cool.
There you go. So
and it's there permanently.
It is permanently, and I have my little Shining carpet as soon as you open the door, and a little Jack Nicholson. So
cool. Shelley Duvall lives in there. I think you actually rent out space for her.
I would love to meet Shelley Duvall. So, and interesting enough, you open that closet and it leads to a secret red room, which is my last film, The Amityville Horror.
The Amityville Horror. Oh, so perfect.
I see this more Margo less Kidder. Halloween, but more of a fall movie.
Yeah, totally a fall
Margo
movie.
Margo Kidder. Yeah.
Yeah.
One of my favorite shots is her going through the microfiche, and for kids, that's how you had to look up things. They have this great her glasses, you know, like these big glasses, and it takes up the whole scene, screen. And
that's a great shot. Because checks bounce, checks aren't cash. Cash is cash. Now I'm gonna write you a check. Are you gonna be in your own damn birthday cake?
Wedding cake.
I love what he's like. I just had it here. I got he's chopping the wood. He's just my friend Mike and I, the same guy, used to do the shenanigans where we chase each other in the car for Halloween. We used to always spoof this movie.
Yeah.
And it's like he'd be like, Clark, you're doing too much homework tonight. It's just like this papers aren't gonna write themselves, you know, like the firewood. It's such a quotable movie. It's so great. And it's scary.
Can somebody make a super cut where it's the James Brolin scenes, but it's intercut with Barbara Streisand, you know, where she's like, are you coming inside? And he's cutting the, you know, or something, you know, so whatever, either Meet the Fockers or something like that.
Right, right.
And that's just what I picture is happening at the Streisand compound.
It's always so damn cold in here.
Yeah. She's like, are you going to put on some pants?
Get out. Oh, it's so good.
They build
that as based on true events, right, at the time or something?
It was. So at the time, obviously I was around at the time. So I remember we had the book. We read the book, and they had you read it, and it was all supposed to be true. And they had the layout of the house and the opening pages, so you knew what rooms they were talking about. And so at the time, we kind of all believed it. And I remember when this movie came out in Omaha, that it made the news because there was, I think at the drive-in, they were lined up.
Wow.
Block, you know, trying to everybody get in to want to see this movie. Whoa. And stuff like that. So, but it was one of those things, if it's supposed to be true, there's a little bit of intrigue. And obviously they repeated that, you know, with Blair Witch and Paranormal Activity, you get these little, and you look back now and you're like, what were we thinking? But
how would you know without the internet and stuff?
Yeah.
And not to mention the DeFeo things really happen. So
yeah,
I think people forget like that that blurs with the story, and they just assume a lot of people that it happened.
But
I heard those people, they changed the house. It doesn't even look like it anymore.
They must have changed the windows.
Windows.
Yeah, and the house. I mean, the house in real life is one. It was not that big, and I think it was black, not white, and stuff like that. So, but it's more or less. You kind of wonder if would this be such a thing if that house did not have the eye windows, you know, if it was right. Just a kind of a plain looking house, would it have resonated as much, you know?
Right, right. It would
as a thing. I don't know. It's just kind of a weird thing. And then, I don't know. But anyway, so Amityville, it's not a great movie, but it's a good October movie.
Yeah, it's a good call. And to your point with the windows, those aren't too uncommon either on the East Coast. Mm-mm. Like my dad's old house had those windows, and the neighborhood, they had a lot. They're just sun windows that, you know, moved in. Of course, you can't stop thinking about the Amityville Horror when you see them. But
yeah, that's what everybody says. Yeah,
like, I feel like that house without them, it probably wouldn't have the same lure.
Yeah.
But it's probably expensive, though. Amityville is a nice area to live in.
Yeah.
Underwater. Sure. Probably like a few million dollars.
They just sold it again not too long ago.
Because of ghosts?
Well, maybe. But yeah, I was like, I wish somebody would move in and kind of put the windows back and, you know, just embrace. All the neighbors would hate them. But
is that why they got rid of them? Because of the people?
I think so. And they changed the address, yeah, house number and stuff like that. But
you can just Google where it is.
Everybody knows where it is. It's like, who's that stopping? I don't know.
do people still go there to get? I mean, they do. But like,
they
is
do
it like a big thing in the set jetting community.
You know, if you're in the area, I think, you know, horror fans, yeah, you would do it. I haven't been there yet, but I also hear that, you know, neighbors, if they see you taking pictures, they honk and yell at you and stuff like that.
Oh, nasty.
But
well,
you know,
Long Island, they're already
nasty.
Guess
that's what I'm about to say. I'm like, you know, Long Islanders,
yeah it's not the most friendly
because it's the Amityville house. It's like, no, you could be by any house.
Right. Yeah. Sir, my car broke down.
Yeah.
It's like, oh,
that's just the way they are out there. So
yeah, there's obviously more we could go on forever about what movies to watch, but these were the ones that came to our mind. And there's, you know, it's such a tough thing to, I mean, there's so many movies that are great to watch this time of year. It's, you got to like use discretion.
I suppose Night of the Roxbury wasn't on your Halloween pick.
It is scary. I mean, it really is scary that movie made it. Is Night of the Roxbury the worst movie ever? That was a mainstream like SNL movie kind of thing.
There was much worse SNL movies, I think.
Isn't yeah, there? Like Ladies Man.
It's Pat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They.
They're not known for their movies.
They would make enough for opening weekend to get some money. So.
Right. Good point.
That's all they wanted.
That's all it was.
People are like, hey, let's go see the new.
Yeah.
The new Chris Kattan movie.
didn't he have like trouble in the past few years? Hasn't been like, I don't know. I don't remember. I think he might have been an anti-vaxxer or something. He was stirring up something in the last few years. I forget what it was.
I think you are right, but I can't remember exactly what it was. But
a buddy of mine saw him in Texas perform, of all places, and just said he was like drunk and like yelling at people. Like it was like the worst. I mean, he said you can't look at it and be like, well, it's Chris Kattan. At least it's kind of funny. It just was like really, really bad.
Not even, yeah.
Yeah.
I would like to meet him so he could sign. Guys want to buy some cookies.
Yeah, I mean Corky Romano fame.
Yeah, you made me watch that. So
yeah, it's a classic. Robert Pattinson's favorite movie
actually,
and Robert Pattinson's favorite
movie. I did actually watch that in the theater. Now that I think about it, but
really,
well, it was during the time my friend managed a theater, and we'd go to all the movies at 2 a.m. they were actually films, so they had to be watched to make sure that there was no.
Yeah. Yeah, you did your part.
Splices, yeah. So, but I do remember saying that. So,
pretty amazing.
Now that you say that, I did my part. So,
all right. Well, that'll be your show, Robert. Unless you had anything else you wanted to add.
Go see the monsters. No.
Go see the monsters. Is the monsters really that bad?
I don't know. It was not for me. I feel like you need to give it a. Give the first 5 minutes a watch. See what you think.
Now I have to, kind of like Moonfall.
Just to see. Like, is it just me? Is Robert off his rocker?
It's really that bad.
I don't know.
Okay.
Other people seem to like it. But.
It sounds terrible. I'm going to watch it. Oh, and finally, I wanted to plug a great nonprofit, Kids Can Community Center.
Never
Omaha,
heard of it.
Go to kidscan.org. At Kids Can Community Center, the mission is to educate, engage, and inspire children through early childhood care and out-of-school experiences. It's over a 100-year-old organization. They're doing fantastic stuff. They participate in Nebraska's Step Up to Quality and ensure and providing high-impact programming for young kids. So check out kidscan.org, listeners.
That is very kind of you.
All right, everybody. That'll be our show from all of us here. Thank you for tuning in, and we will see you on the set.
Jesus, don't fear the reaper, nor do the wind, the sun, or the rain. We can be like they are. Come on, baby, don't fear the reaper. Baby, take my hand. Don't fear the reaper. We'll be able to fly. Thousand coming every day. Be like they are. Come on.